95 BFM's Art Bank.
And you are back with Art Bank, and I've got Francis McFannell on the line. Hi, Francis.
Kia ora, Theo.
How's your morning going?
Not too bad at all. Just going to try turning my phone up a tiny bit.
I'll see if I can help on this end. It's still a little bit of a learning exercise doing these live-to-air phone calls. So I'm speaking to you this morning about Season, which is your new gallery with Jade Townsend down at Commercial Bay. And we've teed up the interview a little bit before I got you on the line. But I wanted to begin by asking, how do you introduce yourself? Because, you know, you wear so many hats in Tamaki's art community.
Yeah, with some difficulty, to be honest. My email signature for my personal email has gotten a bit obscene at this point. It's just so many sort of descriptors attached to it. But I still think of myself as an art writer. That's something that I believe in very strongly and something that informs what I do across my various roles at the Fletcher Trust, at Season, of course, and kind of in the wider world. But increasingly, I suppose, I've leaned a little bit more into the exhibition maker or curator side of things. And that, of course, also informs the work at Season alongside Jade.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but as a floating curator, you've tended to work more with private institutions than public.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what's happened in my own life has just sort of happened organically, and I've just taken on opportunities as they've arisen. And some of the earlier sort of moments that I had, some of the early opportunities that I had came through places like the Aotearoa Arts Fair. And so that sort of was, I took on those opportunities as they arose rather than actively seeking out particular pathways. But certainly public institutional work is not something that I've ultimately ended up doing exactly. I've always sort of operated slightly on the edge of those things or those spaces. And I guess I've just sort of followed my nose in a funny way.
Do you think that the private sector maybe holds some of the work that's more in line with your personal interests, or is it, yeah, just kind of floating on the breeze and seeing, yeah, what happens?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that I've ever actively thought about that. I've sort of sought ways of creating platforms just with what's been available to me at a given point in time. Quite a lot, it all sounds terribly strategic or unplanned, but it really has been the way that my life's kind of unfolded. And I am just interested in finding ways of taking whatever conditions are presented and making something interesting out of them. I don't know that I've always succeeded at that, of course, but that's been kind of the goal, is going, well, you know, what is about, where is there a space, and how can I do something interesting in it? And, you know, that was the sort of thinking that I took to the art fair, which I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed the experience of working with them. I enjoy the experience of working with the Fletcher Trust for similar reasons, just because, you know, they're spaces that I feel like have a lot of potential attached to them, and sometimes those situations just require you to bring something interesting to them, and all of a sudden, you know, exciting things happen.
Well, that sort of leads us quite well into Season Gallery, because it is in a location that might seem unexpected. It's in Commercial Bay, you know, it's amongst the luxury goods and the high-end food court, but visiting the space, it feels quite suitable. I mean, you have this beautiful high stud, but there's also this intimacy, I think. The scale of Season Gallery it's small enough that you can spend time with the works, but also you're kind of encouraged to interact with you and Jade at the, I don't know what you call the gallery desk. Yeah, when you first visited that space and began thinking about having a permanent gallery site, what was it that appealed to you?
So the kind of development of Season was fairly organic as well, at the risk of again sort of sounding like we move through the world with no plan. The kind of conversation started during lockdown between me and Jade, and we sort of had this idea of working together that we didn't have a particular form. And initially we sort of thought, oh, maybe it'll be an exhibition, and then maybe it'll be an exhibition at a site that's temporary, and maybe it will be a group exhibition. And things just kind of evolved as we talked. And Commercial Bay presented itself as a location because of Whānau Marama, in large part, which was the big Matariki group exhibition that Jade curated last year. And conversations with Commercial Bay ensued, which meant that space sort of popped up. And when we got into it, it was all... You've seen the space, you've visited the space. It has a large bank of windows that gives onto Lower Albert Street. And that was all sort of covered in vinyl for a good way up the windows. And so we had the sense of the kind of grandeur of the stud height. It's something in the region of 7.5 metres tall, I would say, the space. And therefore forms more or less a cube. It's a little under 7 metres deep and wide. And we had a sense that it would be quite grand, but it was sort of difficult to envisage. And it was only when the vinyl came down and we got into the space and saw the natural light coming in that we went, wow, the space is actually quite special. And it's a space that feels like it will be conducive to and welcoming of the art that we want to put into it, which kind of wasn't a given, right, for the reasons that you've explained. You know, it's perhaps in some respects an unusual context for a gallery, at least in the context of Tāmaki. And it was just, yeah, this real moment of excitement, if I can even, you know, use so grand a word as revelation, when we kind of got in there with the full light and the work started to go up and we went, oh, this actually feels really right.
Well, it is really nice that you have that big open window. But I also think, you know, when I heard, I haven't visited Commercial Bay a huge amount, but when I heard that it wasn't Commercial Bay, the kind of image I had in my mind was quite different than when I did step into the gallery, because you're tucked around the corner and it feels like you do have an intimacy that maybe wouldn't be the same if you were on one of the internal walls.
Yeah, totally. We're sort of on the periphery of the complex and, you know, have street entrance, which is super desirable from our perspective because it means that, you know, we kind of have direct access from the street. We're really quite easy to get to for people who have... who are mobility compromised in some way, that, you know, we're available for them, which was something that really mattered to us when we were sort of scoping the site. But also it creates this sort of connection to the outside world. I feel like if we were inside the sort of the body of the building, we'd be looking at other entities like ourselves, whereas from where we are, you can actually see the water. There's a lovely sense of the kind of... don't know quite the right terminology to use it, but there's a sense of being open to the wider world, and that's really special.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an interesting time to be down in Britam Art, because in the last few years there's been, you know, the Shane Cotton wall piece is up, and Michael Patakofi's you know, dramatic sculpture out on the pier, and also it's, you know, it's the home of the Art Fair at the Cloud. And did you feel kind of like you were maybe picking up some of that spirit? And to my knowledge, you're the first gallery, at least in a long time, down at that end of the city.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, obviously, Coastal Science is quite nearby on Anzac Ave. We sort of think of them as in the wider neighbourhood. And once, of course, you get further up the hill into sort of more of the, I suppose, not midtown, but, you know, further up Queen Street, you get sort of Galangsford and obviously Toi o Tāmaki, but the kind of truly waterfront area hasn't had a lot of permanent gallery presence for a while. Sue Crockford, of course, was in the region back in the day, and actually, weirdly, a sort of grandmother, not by genetic ties, but a sort of spiritual grandmother of mine had a wee gallery down on Prince's Wharf once upon a time. And so we feel connected to histories of art galleries in the area. And as you've mentioned, you know, Britam Art, just along from Commercial Bay where we are, has a sort of thriving arts activity at the moment, partly under the kind of directorship of Jeremy Hansen. And, you know, there's a real sense of exciting arts and cultural things happening in the area. Obviously, you've also mentioned the fair. And we feel definitely like we're part of that kind of momentum, if you will.
And we haven't really touched on the first exhibition that you've opened with, which is Hono, with work by co-founder Jade Townsend and also Nika Moa. And how did that exhibition become your premiere?
That exhibition, like the other exhibitions, our first season, which is sort of where the name came from. Jade and I colloquially referred to our first season, meaning just our first sort of run of exhibitions. And Hornell presented itself as the right exhibition really quite quickly. Jade's relationship with Nikki is several years old, a number of years old, and they've had a kind of tour kind of trainer relationship, a mentor-mentee relationship, where Nikki has sort of provided some guidance for Jade in her own making. And so it felt very natural to start with something that had that sort of a relationship at its core. The gallery as a whole depends on relationships that, you know, some are newer, but a lot of them are fairly deep from our perspective. And so that felt appropriate. Another aspect about it that felt meaningful was that we were starting with a show that acknowledges Māori art as a sort of central force within Aotearoa. And that was important to both of us. Jada's Ngāti Kahunu, Ngāti Kahunganu, and I'm of Pākehā heritage, but feel a strong sense of the importance of Toi Māori. And so that was another element of the show that felt really important. And then finally, Hono kind of conceptually is about linking, creating connections. And those connections are not only connections between artists, but between audiences and the artwork itself, which is, you know, sort of inevitably a strong dimension of any gallery, but certainly something that we wish to play up was this opportunity to create strong connections between visitors to the gallery and the works on display, and sort of lean into the transformative and healing power of art without, you know, wanting to sound too lofty.
I think in terms of loftiness, there is that, you know, as we've talked about, that lovely high stud is so complemented by the verticality of Jade's work and the way you can kind of float Nika's sculptures throughout the space. Like, it really feels like a, you know, a beautiful merging of practices with a site. Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I totally agree that the space feels like it was very welcoming of the art, and also that the art sort of transformed when it came into the space, particularly Jade's. The veils which we'd seen in different physical contexts, particularly at Jade's home, prior to them coming into the gallery, they really took on quite a different form when they were in the physical space of the gallery, and then of course inevitably changed as well when people started talking about them and their ideas about them started to shift our sense of what they are and what they do. And with Nikki's works, it was just really exciting to sort of see the atua that she has sort of brought forth take shape on the wall, or take their place on the wall, and kind of really soar within it. There's one work, one atua in particular, Papaita, who sort of soars up, and I often feel as though if she were in a space with a more confined ceiling, lower ceiling, that she wouldn't have that same sense of freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think that's what I was feeling, like the way that, yeah, these wall pieces kind of climb the wall, and it does feel just that room to breathe is so important in a gallery space, I think. Another part of the exhibition is that one of Jade's works has been placed in Winhamlin as a kind of, you know, space outside the gallery. And I was wondering, is that something that's going to be a consistent feature of season?
We certainly hope so. Winhamlin was involved in Whānau Marama. The store played host to a work by Emily Karaka, and another one, an exquisite commission by Hana Pirawaki, which was in the window of the store, was an embroidered dress that that Wynne had produced. And so there's a sort of a precedent, I suppose, for a relationship between Jade and that space. And one of the sort of really exciting things about Whānau Marama, one of the really enjoyable things about Whānau Marama, was the way it kind of perforated expectation and created relationships between artists and art and spaces that maybe are actually not that far away in certain ways from art making, but are not always treated as such. And that's something we'd be really keen to continue for sure.
Yeah, it feels like the attention to detail, particularly, I mean, in those fibres of Jade's work, like it does have this kind of, there is a sheer stunning beauty to that, right? Like the way that these veils kind of shimmer, and it does kind of bring textiles to mind. Is the season specifically or exclusively focused on Māori practitioners?
No, it's the gallery. The core sort of core values, the kaupapa of the gallery is that due kind of honour will be done to what really matters, and I think that inevitably and importantly enfolds Toi Māori in a major way. At the same time, there's not a sort of specific set of criteria or a particular agenda, for want of a better word, at play in terms of who we exhibit and how. And indeed, kind of a core value for the space and for the project is that it will be responsive to what feels kind of necessary. I mean, saying that sort of thing seems blindingly obvious in the era of COVID and any number of other complex and shifting situations, but we definitely want to remain open to moving in the directions that feel appropriate in a given moment. And I think as people experience the first season 1, they will sort of see that there are a number of different threads we're attempting to kind of pull at with the program.
And what can you tell me about the next programming, the next year of programming?
As you may have noticed, I was trying to be a little bit vague.
Yes, I did notice that.
To the extent that it probably hasn't meant very much for people listening. But we're sort of trying not to give too much away, because one of the things that's really fun about having a gallery like this is the element of surprise or sort of and delight in creating surprise. But our next show is a group show. We've actually slightly extended Hōnoa. It was originally to end yesterday, but we've pushed it out because the Omicron surge has just meant that quite a lot of people who've wanted to see the show haven't been able to as yet. So we wanted to make sure that that was possible, and also create or attempt to kind of get ourselves into a situation where the next show can happen with a little bit more in the way of visitor numbers, slightly higher visitor numbers. And the kind of part of the reason for that is that the next show is really quite joyous. It's a very sensuous show. There are lots of textile-based works. There's some furniture. There's some adornment. We're sort of playing with the different types of works that can be brought into the space and thinking through ways of playing with that physicality that you've mentioned in terms of the lofty ceiling and the kind of paradoxical sense of kind of grandeur and intimacy. And so the show is sort of looking at the home as a space of learning and growth beyond the kind of first home of the womb. And that, I think, will be a show that's really quite rich, both in terms of having a large number of artists and in terms of a wide and maybe in some respects unexpected array of different works.
And if anyone's excited to, you know, keep tabs on that, they should check you out on social media, and is there a mailing list?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, and of course Season Aotearoa, just one word, and on the website, which is seasonaotearoa.com, on the about section there's a sign up page if people want to receive our relatively infrequent pānui, but yeah, we'll certainly be keeping everybody abreast of what's going on. And the next show starts immediately after the Easter holiday, so on the Wednesday after Easter.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you for your time, Theo. It's lovely.
And that was Frances McFannell speaking about Season Aotearoa, and we've got some Logic 1000 coming up with It's All Around.
You're listening to Artbank on 95 BFM.